Thank you. Man, I am so excited to be here today with you. And I just want to take a quick second before I started and honor your pastor with an amazing story. We're gonna get there in a second. With just an amazing story, the first memory I ever have of my uncle. So I was probably 6 years old, and it might have been my first sleepover ever. I am going to sleep over at his house, and he's like, "Hey, so what do you want to do?" And so I go, "My parents all the time, they use the stove and make s'mores on the stove," which for the record was a complete lie. And so he goes, "Sure, let's do it." So we make s'mores on the stove. He lets me fall asleep on the couch to watching Star Wars Episode One. It was an absolute legendary six-year-old sleepover. Had such a cool uncle, but I can only imagine with that great of an uncle experience how much better he is as a pastor for you guys. So we can go ahead, give it up for Pastor Brent, how great he is. Man, I am so happy to be here. Thank you guys for having me. Just as a little background about me, I grew up here in Canada. At about 12 years old, my parents moved to Milton, Ontario. They planted a church out there. That's where I grew up until about 18. At 18, I went to Tyndale University in Toronto, moved out there, attended there for 4 years. I studied biblical studies, theology, and philosophy. I loved it very much. And then once I graduated, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next. So I had a bunch of different thoughts. I was going to go over to British Columbia, do my master's. And then the Lord, very specifically that summer, he said, "Sam, I want you to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma." And I said, "I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is." It's this small town down in Oklahoma, small for us, big for them. And I moved down there and I do my 2 years of ministry school training there. And the whole time I'm thinking, I can't wait to move back to Canada. I'm so excited to go back there. And the Lord's like, "No, hold on. I have a little bit more for you." So I find this church called Church on the Move where I have been working at for the past 5 years. I absolutely love it there. And in a part of that journey was getting to meet my amazing wife who I've been married to for 6 months now. This is us on our wedding day 6 months ago. And so since being married, we are on this amazing, fun new journey. And a part of that journey is that we got chickens. So we are proud chicken parents to 5 chickens. It's a wonderful life. I never expected this is going to be where I lived, what I was going to be doing when I was growing up here in Canada. But here we are, 5 chickens. Jill let me name one of them. They're all girls. They lay eggs. But the one that I named, I called it Green Goblin because, you know, I had to change it up a little bit. It was very fun. So that is us. That is what we get to do. And so as I'm telling my story, you're probably thinking, "Man, this guy's not even a dad. He's out here preaching on Father's Day. This is going to be iffy." Don't worry. We're in this together. I'm going to have the most chicken analogies of any Father's Day message you've ever heard. It's going to be amazing. But in all seriousness, dads, we honor you. I'm so happy to be preaching here today. My dad, my uncle, my grandparents, professors, pastors have had such an amazing influence on my life, mentoring me and leading me. And so I have the pleasure to be up here today kind of reflecting on that a little bit. And so as I was reflecting and thinking about all these different things that make a great dad or a great mentor or leader in our lives, I was thinking of stuff like the fruit of the Spirit. I was thinking of things like love, joy, peace. They're extra wise. They have all these great attributes of things that I want to follow. And as I was digging a little bit deeper in there, I thought to myself, what's kind of underlying all that? Because all of these different people throughout my life, from when I was born until now, hitting almost 30, these men have been influential. Women have been influential in leading me. But what is it that's underlying all these things? I think as I started to dig into it, I think there's this depth of a relationship with Jesus that makes it not just this, "Oh yeah, that person's really kind, but man, I want to be around them." There's something different, a little bit deeper about them. And so today we're going to be reflecting on that all together. We're going to be talking about John 15, which is Jesus talking about abiding in him. So I'm going to go ahead and read that scripture for us today before we begin. So if you're able to, I'd love for you to stand up as I read God's word for us today. All right, John 15, this is Jesus talking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Thank you, guys can go ahead and have a seat. Right before I jump into the message, I'm gonna pray for us and then we'll get going. Lord, thank you so much for today, the amazing opportunity that I have to get to be here back in Canada, my home country, preaching at City Church. I'm grateful to you. I pray over every person in here. Lord, would you soften their hearts? Help them to hear from you this morning. Help them to hear from your Holy Spirit. Help them to walk away with steps that lead them closer in their relationship with you. Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I don't know about you guys, but in the States, we have this insurance commercial that plays all the time. It's by Progressive Insurance, and it's about becoming like your parents. I'm gonna go ahead and show you that commercial here today.
These are my tissue box covers.
Remember, tissues come in their own boxes. It's important for young homeowners to let go of the things turning them into their parents.
There we go.
All right, who's next?
I've been holding on to these pieces of crown molding because you never know when you're gonna need them.
I do, and it's never. It can be a lot for them. Do you still own that car?
I do not.
Okay.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
Empty tubs of butter are for recycling, not for my leftovers.
That's a big one, people.
Such a good commercial. I know growing up, my mom would always make fun of me. She's like, your dad does it all the time. I'm like, no, I'm nothing like my dad. And then I watched that commercial, and I'm like, I literally do half those things. I have so much trim in my garage right now. I'm pretty sure Jill's old car mats are underneath our bed right now. So no lie, I relate to that so much. But watching that commercial made me think of this story. So as I was growing up, my dad, he's someone I like to call a sneeze screamer. So he does this funny thing growing up as kids where he would sneeze and then following his sneeze, he would immediately scream right after just because it was hilarious. And so as kids, me and Sydney would laugh and die all the time. But I did not know that after 18 years of living with a sneeze screamer, I too would become a sneeze screamer. So here we are, I'm moving out into college and I would sneeze in my bedroom and I would scream after and I was like, I'm hilarious, this is great. Everyone's laughing, it's funny, and it would only happen in private until, let's say probably 6 months ago. I was in a church service and I'm working at the church and it looks just like this auditorium and there's a space behind the production booth. The pastor is preaching. I'm walking behind the production booth and I have to sneeze. It's like any other day, you know, I've sneezed 100 times before in public. It's just a normal sneeze, but I didn't want to, and then no matter what, it came out as a full sneeze scream. The production guy was sitting there, he was at the booth like this, and he turns around with this like awful shock on his face. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I had no control over it. My dad did this to me. I apologize. But the point of that story is this. When you spend enough time with someone or something, no matter if you want to or not, you start to become like that thing. And so that is what we're gonna be talking about today. We're gonna be talking about three main things when it comes to abiding. I wanna ask these questions in a way that by the end of this message, you're very confident in answering these three questions. So here they are. Number one, what is abiding in John 15? What does abiding even mean? Number two, why do we want to abide? And then number three is gonna be, how do we abide? So these are the three main points that we're gonna be looking at today, the three main questions we're gonna try and answer. So if you're taking notes, this will be helpful to kind of outline where we're going today. So we're gonna jump right in to number one with John 15, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So let's break this down just a little bit. At the very beginning, Jesus right away, he's saying, abide in me and I in you. So we know that there's a relationship requirement for this to kind of go both ways. It's not gonna go just one way or just the other way. There needs to be a connection between two of us. So let's use the example, me and my wife. Let's say we just got married and then for 6 months, she decides to go on a trip to the jungle somewhere. She can't text me, call me, get in any contact with me. And today I'm preaching and she's out in the jungle still. And I came to you, I said, me and my wife Jill, we're abiding. It's great. You might not know what the word abiding means, but when I say that, you go, that doesn't sound right. Something is wrong there. I don't think he really is. He's not even talking to his wife right now. That doesn't make any sense. And that's the right reaction. That's to point out, sometimes it's confusing when we hear these words like abide in scripture, and it doesn't make much sense. But then when we tell stories and relate them to our life, it's easier to kind of pull out exactly what they're trying to say. So abiding is being with Jesus so much so that you begin to become like Jesus. You begin to want the things that Jesus wants. So looking back at this whole idea of Father's Day and the people in my life that have been important to me and that I've been looking at and going, what makes them stand out? I want to suggest that it's that they abide with Jesus. They don't just have a relationship with Jesus that's like, yeah, I go to church on the weekends, but they're truly living their life alongside Jesus in a way that I can tell. I want to be closer to that person. So really clearly, abiding is being with Jesus. And if you're married, maybe the best example that might sound a little bit weird, abiding with Jesus is like, in a way, being married to Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, I talk to Jill. When something good or bad happens in my day, my first reaction is to talk to Jill. When I go to bed, the last person I talk to is Jill. When you're abiding with Jesus, your relationship with him should look just like that. Should look like being in a relationship with a spouse. You're always with them throughout the good and the bad of your day. It's this constant withness. So this kind of moves us into our second point, which is, why do we want to abide? We get that abiding is a withness, a closeness with someone, so much so that you become like them. Everything in your world is wrapped up with them. But why is this important to us? And I think oftentimes, we unknowingly approach God wanting all the benefits of Christianity without Christ. We want the peace, the patience, the kindness. We want the healing, the blessing, but we don't want God. A professor of mine, he kind of pointed this out to me one time. I was in a class, and I remember hearing him ask a question. He was saying, hey, like, can you guys describe what heaven looks like to you? And so I'm thinking, okay, we're all these kids in this class and we're thinking like golden roads, there's gonna be clouds. I'm in my head thinking, I hope I have superpowers, that would be so cool. And he goes, okay, great answers. Let me ask you this. If your image of heaven did not include you worshiping Jesus, I don't think you're talking about the heaven that's in the Bible. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I was not thinking about that heaven that's in the Bible. I knew right away there was such a large gap between what he was talking about and what I was experiencing while in school studying for the Bible. There's this massive gap. And I think that gap there is made up by abiding. You can see, oh man, I want to experience all these good, great things that heaven has to offer, that God has to offer, but I don't want the relationship aspect. That's the hard part, the messy part, and I don't want that. So there's this author named Sky Jathani that wrote this book with, that I think talks about everything that we're talking about today. He talks about a bunch of different lies, ways that we relate to God unknowingly compared to living life with God. And so this is what he said from his book titled With. Life from God uses him to supply our material desires. Life over God uses him as the source of principles or laws. Life under God tries to manipulate God through obedience to secure blessing and avoid calamity. And life for God uses him and his mission to gain a sense of direction and purpose. Wow. So I think if we're honest, sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we plead God for all of the benefits that he has to offer, but we don't want him. We treat him kind of like this vending machine where we go, hey, I'm in small groups. I volunteer on the weekend. I pray sometimes, I read my Bible last week, and then next week when something goes wrong, Lord, would you help me? Lord, I really need this car. Lord, I need this promotion in my job. And we're missing the point of the relationship that's meant to bridge those things together. It's just like when you have a relationship with any one of your friends or your spouse or your kids. The more you can ask of someone means there's a stronger relationship to hold up those asks. So my point in this is not to say, hey, you shouldn't be asking your Father in heaven for things. It should be that these things come from a true and right relationship with Him, where the Holy Spirit is kind of fueling these different asks. So the different way that we can look at this, I wanted to show you guys some emojis in an equation here. But now I do know my grandparents are gonna be here later today, so I have like a little translation underneath just in case you're confused, so don't even worry about it. So with this equation, we have me and you have Jesus, and then you have me like Jesus. So when I spend time with Jesus, I become a little bit more like Jesus. And then if you have me looking like Jesus, and then you add in some decisions to make, you have me making decisions like Jesus would make decisions. So I've spent enough time with Jesus, I'm starting to make the same decisions that He would make if He were me. And so let's add in one more layer. You have me making decisions like Jesus, and then you have a verse here in John 15 that says, ask whatever you wish. And then you get me asking for what Jesus would ask for. So to add some clarity to this, let's look at John 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So I think when I'm talking about this gap between what the Lord is kind of leading us to ask for and then what we're actually asking for, what we're expecting of Him without a relationship, I think it oftentimes comes from verses like this. They're rightly so a little bit confusing. We read this and go, okay, I want a Ferrari. And then we're just kind of waiting for something to happen. And I think in that, we're missing the point. And so if we look back at that third slide of the kind of picture, the emoji thing that I was saying, we have, when I am finally like Jesus, I'm making decisions like He would make. The way that we get to understand this verse a little bit more properly is that because I've spent so much time with Jesus, I am now asking for the things that Jesus would ask for if He were me. The things that I'm thinking about, the things that I'm wanting, the things that I'm desiring, the things that I'm caring for about other people start to naturally change because I've spent time with Him. Just like with my dad, I spent so many years growing up with him. I had no choice but to become a sneeze screamer. I did not want it. It came upon me. Just like spending time with Jesus, these things, these ways that you make decisions, the way that you act should be natural. I did not have to go and practice sneeze screaming. It just happened to me one day. And the same thing is true when you are following Jesus and you are properly abiding in Him and not looking at Him and just expecting all of the benefits and the things that you want from Him, but you want Him in and of Himself. So now we kind of move on to the third point where we get to, how do we abide? So we know at this point, we know what abiding is. We know that it's a withness with someone. And then we know why we want to abide. We want to get rid of this idea of using God. And we want to build a relationship with Him. And I think that's really significant. That second point is because sometimes when we use Him, we're missing life and life to the fullest. I think when we look at Scripture, it's very easy to look at all these amazing benefits that God does offer us, but we miss the point that it's coming from a life fully lived with Jesus, and the best life that we can possibly live is always gonna come through that avenue. So we get to this place where we're asking, how do we actually do that day to day practically? So a few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast by a pastor in Portland named Tyler. And so he was actually asked this exact question. The podcast person asked him, hey, so how do you know if you're abiding? And he was sharing this story. He was saying, I know I'm abiding when I wake up in the morning and the very first thing that I do is I spend time talking to God. Not because I have to, not because somebody's forcing me to, but because I have such a good relationship with Him and I'm so close with Him in this season that I wake up and that's just my first reaction. It's my first reaction, it's my last reaction of the day. When something great happens, when something hard happens, my natural reaction is to go to Him. And so that's a really helpful kind of framework when you look at your life and you're going, am I abiding in this season? Sam's talking a lot about abiding. Am I doing that or not? Think to yourself, like, what is your natural reaction when anything happens in the day? When you wake up, when you go to bed, when something good happens, when something bad happens, is your first thought, is your first reaction to go to Jesus? About 2 years ago, I got into this whole motorcycle kick. So I was starting to get interested in motorcycles, so I bought this little tiny motorcycle. And in the States, you don't need a license. I probably should have had one. So I got this little motorcycle, started riding around, really quickly upgraded to a larger motorcycle, fell in love with them. And then Jill made me eventually get my license. So I got my license, made it all legit. And then as I'm in this kind of motorcycle season, for whatever reason, I just fell in love with motorcycles. My entire life got consumed completely by motorcycles. So at this point, I have every Facebook Marketplace notification on my phone for when motorcycles are coming online. I am watching YouTube videos, learning how to fix up motorcycles, so much so that I went and got an auction license so I could buy broken motorcycles, fix them, sell them for more money so I could buy more motorcycles. Guys, I was all in on motorcycles for this like 2-year period. And I think looking back now at that season of my life, that was a really great example of me abiding in something. It wasn't Jesus. I was abiding in motorcycles. My whole life was completely consumed. I was still going to my job during the day. I was still hanging out with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife. I was still hanging out with her all the time. And I was doing all my daily stuff, but somehow my mind was always still wrapped up in motorcycles. And I think that's a really good picture of when you're properly abiding in Christ. It looks a lot like that. Your life still, for the most part, looks the exact same. But in the behind the scenes, what you're doing is you're thinking about, you're spending time with Jesus. You're thinking about the things that he would think about. You're spending time in his word. You're spending time praying because that's what you do when you abide in something. So I wanted to give you guys a few helpful kind of quotes that'll kind of maybe tie this a little bit together for you. So every single one of you is being formed into something or someone. The question is not, are you being formed? It is, what are you being formed into? So again, looking way back at the sneeze scream example, you're being formed into something. It's always happening. If you're spending time on social media, at school, at your job, you're being formed into the people that you're around, the ideas that you're around. You are always being formed. The question that we want to shift our focus to is not what, because you are. It's who or what are you being formed into? And the only way that you can take steps closer to things that are deeply desirable for you is by spending time doing those things intentionally. John Mark Comer said this. He said, your strongest desires are never your deepest desires. Your strongest desires are never your deepest desires. Christianity, like anything else, requires a lot of intentionality and focus. And what John Mark is trying to get at here is your strongest desires. When you wake up in the morning, the easiest thing to do is always your strongest desire. To look at your phone, to check social media, to do these things. Same at night. The easiest reaction when somebody cuts you off on the road is to get upset. And the point being, my value in life, what I want, what I deeply desire is not those things, yet I find myself always putting those things first. And so I wanted to bring this idea to you, and it's something that Christians have been doing for thousands of years, and it's called a rule of life. Just like when you have a work day or you're at school, you get a calendar. You know exactly what's going to happen when you have classes or when you have different meetings in your day. The same is true and necessary for us to thrive in our spiritual walk. So the idea of this is all based on this thing called a trellis. So they still use them today, but way back in the day, we had these kind of wooden frames that would go in grape vineyards, and they would get stuck in the ground. And grapes, if you didn't know, they have to be interwoven in these trellises. Otherwise, what they do is they grow back into the ground and they start to kill themselves. They just die. They can't sustain life. And so a long time ago, this image of a trellis in our Christian walk became a very important part of Christianity because we realized, man, my strongest desires and my deepest desires, I'm always choosing my strongest desire, but I know my values are all attached to my deepest desire. How do I take this and do this? I need structure. I need a framework. And so if you right now, you go and you Google the rule of life right after church, you're gonna see a bunch of different examples, huge spreadsheets, things that you can do, and those are all great. But my challenge for you today is to look for a step. if your goal from zero running at all was to run a marathon and you got a coach, your coach is not gonna say, okay, tomorrow we're running 10 miles. You're not gonna be able to do it and you're gonna give up the next day. And that's the same thing when you look at taking steps further and closer to abiding with Christ. You have to take one step at a time. Your coach is gonna say, hey, run for a few minutes today. Run for a few minutes more. And the exact same is true with Christianity as you're taking steps closer to abiding with Jesus. Maybe that step looks like for you, hey, tomorrow when I wake up, before I use my phone, I'm gonna talk to God for 30 seconds. And that might be a huge step for you, and that's a great step to take. For others of you, it might look like, hey, this Thursday, me and my family, instead of spending time eating separately or around the TV, we're actually going to put away our phones, we're gonna eat a meal together, maybe play a board game after, and we're gonna pray before and after. I think God's just looking for these small steps to connect with you. Abiding is something that takes a lifetime to accomplish fully, and even then you get to the end of your lifetime, there's so much more room of growth with him. So the point is not today going, I'm gonna run a marathon tomorrow. It's going, today I'm gonna take one step closer to Jesus. So today, as we begin to kind of close here, I wanted to give you all an opportunity to kind of talk to God for a moment, to show God, hey, I heard this message today. I haven't been abiding with you. Maybe I've been a Christian for 40 years, and it's been a long time since the last time I was truly abiding in Christ. Maybe today's the first day I've ever heard of this, but this sounds pretty good. I want this. No matter what it is, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to tell Jesus that you wanted to take a step closer to him today. So if you guys could go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. In a second, I'm going to ask people who want to if they would raise their hands. And so when you raise your hand, that's going to signify you saying, not to Sam, but to God, God, I haven't been abiding with you recently, and I want to. Today, I want to change that. I want to start taking steps. I'm going to count down from three, and you can go ahead and raise your hand if that's you. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. You guys can go ahead and lower your hands. You guys can keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're here today, and this is maybe the first time that you've heard about Jesus, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I want a life like this. I feel this gap on the inside, and I want more of this Jesus person that Sam is talking about abiding with. I need that in my life. And you want to give your life to Christ today. You want to make him Lord of your life. I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand here in a second, just like I did a minute ago. I'm going to count down from three. 3, 2, 1. You can go ahead and raise your hand if that's you. Thank you. I see both of you. You guys can go ahead and lower your hands. I would love to pray for you before we close today. Lord, we worship you. I'm so grateful for you and everything you've done here this morning. I pray over the people in here that raised their hands for either one of these moments, Lord, that you would speak to them, you would guide them this week, that you would make an easy way for them to be able to abide with you as they go on in this week. Remind them of this message. Remind them of how you touched their hearts this morning. Again, we're so grateful for you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.